Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was one day in the middle of August, a young boy came up to his dad and said, "Dad, what is Santa doing right now?" Dad was completely caught off guard. He wasn't used to hearing any talk about Santa on days when the sun was shining and it felt like it was 80 degrees outside. And he said, "Santa?" And his boy said, "Yeah, Santa, what is he doing right now?" Father paused for a moment, and then he answered very matter-of-factly. He said, "I'm sure at this point he's done with the manufacturing and the fabrication, and he's on to the end-of-line testing for the electronics, but that has to be finished up pretty soon. And if he's got that pretty well squared away, then I'm sure he's checking his scheduling and routing, getting ready for the return flow, and if he's got a good handle on that, then he's probably checking into his suppliers for next year. All that's got to be squared away by January 15th, otherwise the elves won't know what to do with themselves, and really he's going to have already the plans for next Christmas in place before he and Mrs. Claus even leave Florida." Boy thought for a minute, said, "Thanks, Dad," and with a slightly disappointed look on his face, went back to the game he'd been playing before. And as his father watched him walk away, what he wanted to shout at his son was, "What kind of an answer were you looking for anyway?" Now, we've all had experiences like that where, whether it's a question that we ask or whether it's something that we're looking forward to, a sense of anticipation or expectation of something, only to find the reality of that thing, whether it's the reality of the answer that we receive or the reality of the thing that we've been looking forward to, where our expectation of the thing and the reality of it, they don't match up. And we're left with that nagging sense of disappointment. And that feeling can happen especially often in December, where there is so much that we're anticipating and looking forward to. We look forward to presents and parties and seeing family members that we don't see very often. We look forward to vacations, time off from school. And so there are plenty of opportunities, especially this month, to experience that difference between our expectation of the thing and the reality of the thing itself. And as that nagging little disappointment sets in, we wonder to ourselves, well, what was it we were really looking for or hoping for in this thing to begin with? That question, what are you looking for? It's one that Jesus asks three different times in our gospel lesson for today. He asks it to a crowd of people, specifically about John the Baptist. He says to them, "What was it that you were going out into the wilderness to see anyways? What were you looking for? Did you go out to see a reed shaken by the wind?" In other words, did you go out into the wilderness to listen to someone who would give you a message that would change moment by moment? Did you go out to hear someone deliver to you a message that you wanted to hear? No? Then what did you go out into the wilderness to see? Did you go out in the wilderness to see someone dressed in fine clothing? Those guys, they don't live in the wilderness, they live in the palaces. In other words, were you going out into the wilderness to hear the latest insight from the rich and famous about how to invest your wealth so that you could retire early and live the good life? No? Then what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A prophet? Were you going out to listen to some man of God deliver the secret, the key to being more and feeling more connected with God without having to sacrifice anything on your part or to change anything about yourself? No? Then what did you go out to see? What are you looking for? Jesus asks these questions to the crowd, and they're all prompted because he's heard from John the Baptist's disciples that John is having this moment that we often experience where his expectation isn't matching with the reality that he's seeing. Only in John's case, it's his expectation of who the Messiah would be that isn't matching up with who Jesus actually is. And Jesus knows that this question that John has, he's just the one that's brave enough to ask it. It's a question that's on the minds of a lot of the other people that Jesus is ministering to as well. Just who is this man, Jesus? Is he the Messiah or isn't he? See, from prison, John sends out his disciples to Jesus and he says, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" See, Jesus hears that question and he knows that John is struggling in the same way that we do sometimes when our expectations don't match up with the reality that we see before us. And because he knows John is struggling with that, he doesn't give him the easy yes answer that he could. He doesn't send John's disciples back to him with a message, "Tell John, I've got it. I'll take it from here." Instead, in answer, in reply, he paraphrases a little bit of what we read in our Old Testament lesson for today, this prophecy from Isaiah about the Messiah. So Jesus, as he's saying this reply, he's pointing back to Isaiah 35, which reads, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Your God will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." Jesus tells John's disciples, go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. That the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have this good news preached to them. In essence, Jesus is saying, who I am and what I'm doing, it speaks for itself if you only have eyes to see and ears to hear. In other words, the subtext is, John, the problem isn't with reality. The problem is with your expectation of it. And like many of the questions that Jesus asks throughout the Gospels, they're questions that were pointedly directed at the people he was speaking to then, but they also hit us. And the question for you this morning is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for this month? I know a woman who is just recently diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. It's the kind of cancer that comes out of nowhere, and it's the kind of cancer that has the scariest of diagnoses with it. And while she would take a miracle, what she's really looking for is time. Time to spend with her family, time to enjoy Christmas this year. Time to wrap presents and decorate, to play with her kids. That's what she's looking for. There's another mom whose son is deployed in serving in the Marines overseas. And while she would love to have him home with her, she'd settle for a redeployment somewhere a little safer. I mean, she's proud of her son, but she wants him to be safe. That's what she's looking for. But what about you? Again, ask yourself, what are you looking for this Christmas? And maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know, I'm not really looking for anything. Things are going okay, you know, not great, not bad. And maybe what you'd want more than anything else is to feel that spark, you know, call it joy, that feeling that you had at Christmas when you were a kid. And so in search of that spark, you decorate. And you bake cookies, you travel to see the lights, you watch those horribly predictable Hallmark Christmas movies. But they still leave you feeling slightly empty afterwards. You still wind up searching. So what are you looking for right now? And if you're able to answer that question for yourself, then the follow-up is this: what sits behind that desire, that thing that you're looking for? Say for a moment that you're looking for more time, for whatever reason it happens to be. What you really want, is more time. But ask yourself, how are you using the time that God has given you already? What difference would a few extra hours in your day make? Or an extra day in your week? Would it really change anything? Would it really allow you to slow down, to relax a little more? Or do you think you'd be more likely just to fill that up with the same sort of busyness that we fill our lives with already? You think of that desire for more time. Now, I would love to be able to have more time with my kids and more time with my family, more time with all of you. But to be honest, what sits behind that desire for more time is really a desire for an end to time. What I mean by that is, I say I want more time with my kids. But when I reach the end of that time with my kids, depending on how that goes, most of the time, if I'm honest, I'm going to say, I would like more time with my kids. And then I reach the end of that, and then I say, well, I'd like a little more time with my kids. And what sits behind this desire that we sometimes express for more time is really a desire for an end to time itself. A time without time. And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, that is what Jesus freely offers you. Eternity. A time without time. Or say the thing that you're really looking for is safety for yourself or for a loved one. Take the case of the mom whose son is deployed overseas. Even if her son were brought home back safely to her and she had him in this place that she considers to be safe, the reality is tragedy can strike just as quickly and unexpectedly here as it can over there. And what sits behind that desire for safety for all of us is really a desire for peace. An end to the tragedies that can come on us unexpectedly. And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, that is what Jesus offers. A peace that surpasses understanding. But say what you're looking for isn't any of those, and what you'd really like is just to feel that spark, you know, joy again. A lot of times as adults, we settle for that feeling just a few times a year. We're happy if we can feel that feeling, you know, at holidays, at Christmas time, or on that long-awaited beach vacation. We settle, but deep down inside, what we really want is to have that feeling. That feeling that we have sitting on the beach, or that feeling that we have surrounded by our family, to feel that joy all the time. And if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, Jesus offers that joy freely. It's not a promise that you won't ever experience trouble or tragedy, though. It's a promise of joy that surpasses your circumstances. It's the kind of joy that Paul and Silas had while they were in chains in prison, and yet they were singing hymns and praises to God in that moment. Because the joy that they had in Christ couldn't be chained and couldn't be put out. In all your preparations for Christmas this year, consider that question. What are you looking for? And I hope and pray that you understand that, like Augustine once famously wrote, our hearts are restless until they rest in Christ. Ultimately, anything that we wind up running after and searching for here, this side of heaven, can find its fulfillment only in Christ. You see, Jesus wasn't the Messiah anyone was looking for, but he was exactly the Messiah that we needed. In his name, amen.